Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel is known as one of the major prophets of the Old Testament, and the book of Ezekiel is one of the books of prophecy, meaning that it was not only for the nation of Israel, but it was also for future prophecy for us to learn from and what God had prepared for planet Earth, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 13, I'm going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 8. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. We have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, once again, we thank you for what we've already experienced just being in this place. But Father, as we bow before you now and have opened up your precious word and we've read this passage of Scripture, Lord, no doubt you have a message for all of us through this passage of Scripture. And I just pray that you would give each one here that ear to hear exactly what you have for them. I ask God that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Ezekiel. He was actually taken into captivity when Judah was taken into captivity. And Ezekiel was God's voice to the children of Israel, the whole house of Israel, who were in captivity at this time. He also had a prophetic message for the church age, the day and age that we're living in today, which was a mystery in the Old Testament, but made clear to us by the Lord Jesus Christ as he came to fulfill the Old Testament law and prophets. In the book of 2 Peter, and let me just read it to you, mark it down so you can go back to it later, but 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, because Ezekiel said that they had not prepared the house of Israel to stand in the day of battle in the day of the Lord. That idea there of the day of the Lord is prophetic concerning the end of times. And as we look here in the book of 2 Peter, it's found other places in the New Testament, but 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This is all part of what the Bible refers to as the day of the Lord. It began with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as he came to present himself as being the Messiah. And then it will actually start when the rapture of the church begins the end of all times and the day of the Lord. It takes in everything that starts with the rapture all the way through eternity. And so we find here that it is revealed to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, but Ezekiel is prophesying concerning the day of the Lord and the people not being prepared to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Now, as we get back to understanding Israel here, Israel was taken into captivity because they were not standing with God. Anyone that understands the Old Testament realizes that Israel was God's chosen people. He called them out so that they would represent God to the rest of the world. As long as they were living for God and standing with God and living as God would have them live, they was the most powerful nation on planet Earth. They did not have to worry about the battles because God would give them the victory over whoever they come up against. But they would have to be standing with God. Israel was warned and taken through many trials and eventually taken into captivity because they were not standing with God. The people were not standing with God mainly because of her prophets. The prophets were not telling them what thus saith the Lord. They got sidetracked. They started looking to other religions and other things, and they stopped preaching and teaching the message that God had for His children, Israel, in the Old Testament. In verse 3, we find this is true here. That's what God is revealing to Ezekiel to tell to them. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They've not received anything from God. They're following their own spirit. In verse 6 and 7 it says, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. But the nation of Israel did not realize, they did not believe that God had not sent them. They believed these lying prophets to a certain degree. And so we find here, it said, the Lord has not sent them, and they have made others to hope. That means that they have had others that they have revealed and got them to lie concerning what they had revealed as prophecy as being confirming the word. Because Israel knew there had to be someone else there to help confirm what the prophets would say to be truth. And so they had found those that they could convince to lie concerning their own prophecies that it was the truth. That's what he's saying there. Have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. You see, at that time, not everyone had what we have today. First of all, they did not have the church as we have it today. Neither did they have the completion of the Word of God, the full revelation of God as we have it today. And so at that particular time, they were very dependent upon the prophets to understand what God was saying to them, to understand the truths that God had for them. They were very dependent upon the prophets of the Lord because they would come and speak the very words of God to them. In verse 8, he says this, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you. Because they were not teaching God's word, God was against them, and they would lose the battles. He was against the prophets, against the people, because they were not standing where God wanted them to stand. And he said, because of that, because I'm against you, and without me, you cannot win battles. And they would lose the battles that they would fight. Now, bring this to present day, 21st century, 2016. Everyone is very familiar with Republican presidential candidate named Donald Trump. I don't preach politics, but I do want you to see something. Donald Trump has had a message that has resonated with millions of Americans. He has done something that no other candidate has been able to do in getting those to come out in the primaries to vote. There is a record number. No one can deny that. But what I want you to see in this is his message. His message is basically this: I will get America back to winning again. Everybody wants to win. I will get America back to winning again. And it has resonated with millions and millions of voters coming out of the woodwork to vote because we want to win again. We want to stop losing battles. We don't want to give away money that the hardworking American people have worked hard to get to other nations that are going to squander it and use against us. We want to get back to winning again. Now, I said that to say this. I don't know what his plans are. I'm not sure that he knows what his plans are, but he's got a great message that has resonated with people. But I know God's. It's sad for me to see there is a greater commitment from Americans to support a political candidate and putting trust in this man to bring us back to winning against, and just a fraction willing to put our trust in God and to look to God to get us winning again. So this morning, based on the message of Ezekiel to the children of Israel, what needs to be done to help people to be ready for the day of the Lord? What needs to be done to help people to be ready for the day of the Lord? We find here that the Bible says in chapter 13 and verse 5, "Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." So first of all, those who know. He's talking to the prophets. Now, it was the prophets who would supposedly hear from God. And as they heard from God and they would know what God would have for the people, they would take the message of God and they would take it to the people. And as they would take it to the people, they would fill in a gap that the people had between the people and God. God did not speak directly to all the individuals. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They did not have the completion of the revelation of God as we have it today. And so they needed somebody to stand in the gap and be able to go to the people and say, "I've heard from God, and this is God's will for our lives. This is what God would have us to do. And all we have to do to win the battles is to do what God tells us to do." And the prophets of the Old Testament were those who were supposed to fill in the gap between the ignorant of God's word and his will for their lives and God. Amen. And so the first thing that I think that we need to be focused on this morning in 21st century Christianity is to, for those, not for those that are ignorant of the Bible, not for the lost, but for those that are saved, for those who know the Bible is the very words of God, who have walking relationship with God, who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for those who know, to fill in the gap. You see, it's what the prophets failed to do that caused them to lose the battles. And it's what the church and believers are failing to do today that's causing us and that has caused us to lose the battle in the election of those that's going to govern our land. It's going to lead in the governing of our land. The politicians that we have in place today were elected by the people. And when you fail to let your voice be made known, you fail to vote biblical convictions, You hand it over to those that have no biblical convictions. It's a failure of those who know to fill in the gap between God and those who don't know. See, God's children needed to know exactly what God said. The prophets were to be used to fill in the gap to tell them. Biblical truth today has been replaced with human philosophy and false religious doctrine and confusion concerning what is the truth. The failure of some that have had a platform for Christianity but have failed miserably because of their own sin, that have sent a message to America that this is what Christianity is all about, that possibly there is no true God. If these that have had the platform have failed miserably, how can we expect ourselves to live by the very words of God? You see, if you know the Bible, you need to fill in the gaps. Look at verse 22. Verse 22. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad. Find those that were supposed to be respected and supposed to be filling in the gap, even when it comes to just at your work or in your neighborhood. In those that want to do right, those who want to believe in God and want to be able to be to do all they can do, because of the failure of those in positions and those that they've been looking to, you made the heart of the righteous sad. But not only have you made the heart of the righteous, those that would believe in God and those who would follow God, you made them sad, but whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked. When those who know and those who are supposed to be the Christians and the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and those are supposed to be helping others to understand the truth, when you fail and you present something other than a Christian testimony, then you are actually helping the wicked. You are making the heart of the righteous sad, and you're strengthening the hands of the wicked to turn to wickedness and to present wickedness to a people who are willing to receive wickedness more than they're willing to receive righteousness. I don't know about you, but it's sad when believers do not live as believers. If you're a believer and you're not living like a believer, you are making the hearts of the righteous sad. When I see somebody that says I'm a Christian, then I believe in God, even when it comes on maybe a politician or it comes on some kind of an athlete or somebody, some kind of person that has a platform by which they can use, if they wanted to advance the cause of Christ. And we see them claim Christianity, and then in the very next frame, hear them cursing or doing things that do not represent Christ. Living a lifestyle that is not representing Christ. And what it does to me, it saddens my heart because I know of how they are influencing others who now believe that that is the life of a Christian when it's not. All they're doing by doing that is strengthening the wicked. And look at the situation we're in today. It is a result of years and years of strengthening the wicked. Wow. Need to fill in the gaps. We have enough believers in this United States of America, if we would just look to fill in the gaps, could make a huge impact. Look at Donald Trump. That's a politician. Well, so-called politician. But look at what one man, because of his message, has done to millions who are willing to stand and even fight anybody that doesn't agree with him. I'm not condoning that, but I'm saying look at what they're doing to be able to support and stand for a politician when we have an almighty God that would want us to stand for Christianity, and he would want us to fill in the gaps in a society that we live in. Just live the Christian life as God would have you to live the Christian life, and it will impact our society. Get us back to winning again. And not only that, he says what they didn't do is what we need to do is make up the hedge. Now, what is that? The hedges would represent the walls or the fences. It would represent protection. Protection. You see, the prophets were to help Israel to know how to protect themselves from Baal worship, how to protect themselves from the philosophies of false prophets. Help to protect themselves from understanding what is true from God, making sure it's exactly what God says for them to do and not what a man is telling them to do. It's not the philosophies of man that we need to follow. It's not the false doctrine of religion that we need to follow. We need to follow God. And if we're going to do that, we have to make up the hedge. If you're going to do that as an individual, you're going to have to strengthen some things to keep safe, to keep the enemies out. What needs to be strengthened in your life? If you're wanting to fill in the gap, praise the Lord, you ought to. The world needs that. Yeah. There are so many out there that have no idea that this Bible, that there's only one true Bible. Amen. Yeah. That God says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. God says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Listen to me. God has provided for us every word. As an English-speaking people, God has provided for us. As the United States of America, God has provided for us His Word. There's so many that don't understand that. There's so many that don't understand that God says there's only one plan of salvation. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way for a person to get saved and have everlasting life. And if you have been taught anything other than Jesus Christ and the precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, you have been deceived and you have been blinded, because there's only one way. And there's so many in the world today that believe that as long as I'm sincere in whatever I believe, all roads lead to heaven. And they don't. We have a society today that believes that morality is whatever you want it to be. It's because they've been filled with lying vanities. Morality is what it is because God established it. Amen. Outside of God, there is no morality. But people don't understand that. But if you know the Bible, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you understand that. So not only do we need to fill in the gaps, but the Bible says that we need to make up the hedges. That means that we have to protect ourselves and our testimonies so that we might be able to be used by God to help help a deceived race of people to understand the truth. So what needs to be strengthened in your life? Can I tell you, there's many things, but Satan loves to work through failed or struggling relationships. Yeah. Wednesday night, we're in the Bible study on Elijah. And Elijah, the prophet of God, revealed to Ahab, the king of Israel, the king of God's people, the reality of God, calling down fire from heaven. The people shouted out after they saw that Elijah was able to call down fire from heaven, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Ahab understood that Elijah was God's servant. And yet, when Elijah came to Ahab after that, he called him his enemy. And his wife that he married, one that served Baal, that did not believe in God, the God of Israel, that had just murdered Naboth to give him whatever he wanted, because she was able to give him what he wanted, he called Jezebel friend. Can I tell you, today, if Satan can get you to call those in whom God has brought in your life to help you an enemy, and those that Satan has brought into your life your friends, you are just where he wants you to be. And you will not make up the hedge. Too often our young people today are convinced that the parents are their enemies, that they're trying to limit them and hinder them from being able to just enjoy life and to do what everyone else is doing. Listen to me, young people, you need to understand your parents. If you have Christian parents, they are the parents that God has given to you and instructed them to raise you in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they are your help. And anybody would tell you opposite that is an enemy. Anybody tell you it's all right to do what the world says is all right to do is an enemy. Too often we let the voices of our coworkers and the voices of others be more of an influence on our lives than the voice of God. Need to make up the hedge. Strengthen those relationships. Your relationship with God has to be strengthened. Your relationship as a married person, your relationship with your spouse needs to be strengthened. Your relationship with your family needs to be strengthened. Your relationship with your church, it's what Jesus established for this church age. Your relationship with your church needs to be strengthened, because without these relationships, you will not be able to not only fill in the gap, but you will not be able to make up the hedge as God would have us to. And we'll lose battles if we don't. Elijah wouldn't win. I mean, Ahab would not win. Elijah would tell him, you're going to lose the battle. And you'll be eaten by the dogs, you and Jezebel. What a powerful message. Yeah. The last thing we look at here, if you look back with us to Ezekiel chapter 13, doing what they did not do is how to win battles. We need to fill in the gaps. We need to make up the hedges. And ultimately, we need to stand in the battle. Stand in the battle, in the day of the Lord. You see, we'll continue to face battles. Trials, struggles, everyone has their own burdens to bear. Everyone has battles that you're facing, whether it be relationships, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual. We'll continue to face battles until the rapture. We will. What we need to do is to be determined and committed to stand with God. Amen. No matter what the battle, if it's with the government trying to close down the church or redefine the church, I believe that's what's coming. They've redefined marriage. I'm still going to stand where the Bible stands on marriage. They've tried to redefine morality. I'm going to stand where the Bible stands on morality. Amen. The next step is they will try to redefine the church. I'm going to stand and continue to preach what thus saith the Lord, no matter what. Amen. I'm going to stand because that's where God would have me to stand. I am going to stand with God. Yeah. Stand in the battle. God would have us to stand with and for the Bible. If you look back, I mean, just take a walk back in history in our own country. where our country used to look to the Ten Commandments and used to look to the Bible. When I was in school, they prayed every public school. Every morning when they finally did get the intercom system in the school. Start out with prayer. My public school that I went to, not only did, and this is all the public schools, if you will, in America, not only did they start out with praying, they had dress codes. The school, if you were going to go to school there, you had to wear a belt. If you were going to go to school there, you had to keep your shirt tail in, tucked in. If you were going to go to school, then you had a hair code. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about a public school. Boys were supposed to look like boys, and let me tell you that a boy could not go into a girl's restroom. Because it didn't take much awareness to realize there is a difference between a boy and a girl. And boys were instructed and made to dress like and look like boys, and girls were instructed and made to look like girls in the United States of America in the public school system. Our government had the Ten Commandments up in the government. Our government, all the different things that our government has established was based on partially what the Bible says. There wasn't no question whether or not the Bible was the Word of God. There wasn't a question in this great nation on what Sunday was. Sunday was a day to worship God. They closed most everything down. When I was being raised, I had church clothes and I had play clothes. Listen, this is a nation that we grew up in. This is, and that hasn't been that long ago. And look from where we are then to where we are today. And it's because we find Christianity, those who know, have not stood in the gap. They have not made up the hedges. And ultimately, they have failed to stand where God wants us to stand. We want to get back to winning. I don't think we need to follow Donald Trump. We need to follow God. We need to do what God has told us to do. It begins with the house of God. It begins with those who know. Be determined. Be committed to stand with and for the Bible. This will lead to winning at life. Because God does not lose. Did you hear that? God has never lost. You can't overpower omnipotence. You can't deceive omniscience. Amen. If you are standing where God stands, you are standing with the omnipotent one. You can't be overpowered. If you are standing where God stands, you are standing with the omniscient one. You cannot be deceived. And get back to winning. Get back to winning. Oh, how we need a generation of believers to fill in the gaps. Oh, there's huge gaps out there today. In your place of work, in your school, in your neighborhood, huge gaps. You're there to fill them in. Make up the hedges. Protect your testimony. Live as a believer ought to live. Be committed to stand no matter what the battle you face. Stand. I could have every eye closed, every head bowed. Prophetic message was not only for the nation of Israel in captivity, it's for America. It's for you and it's for me. Are we willing to do our part? God is the hope, no man. God is our only hope. Let's do our part. Father, we bow before you and we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word and how that as we study it, God, we can see how it applies to this 21st century Christianity. Help us, Lord God. Help us. Those of us who know, help us to do these things. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as Savior, they're not going to be able to stand. They're not going to be able to make up the hedge. They're not going to be able to fill in the gap. Lord, I pray that they'd get saved today so that they then could be used in this way. Work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name.